Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Two down, top of the ninth inning. The pitch to Bryant. Chris hits a high fly ball, shallow right, foul territory. Votto is there, makes the catch as he tumbles backward, and the Reds win the ball game by a score of 3-2. Bryant fouls out to Votto, and the Cubs now have lost 8 consecutive games.
Bring him home!
That ball's drilled to left field. Twisting, will it twist enough? It is gone. It's a grand slam for Chris Bryant.
He's your hero tonight. Thanks, Cubs.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Wait, let me get this straight. Try to figure out what we're all listening to. Good morning, everybody. It is Matt Spiegel here on Hit and Run. Sean Anderson, our producer of the Scores Venerable Baseball Show, not vulnerable, but venerable instead, on a Sunday morning. And we got to talk quickly because we only have 2 hours to be with you before Cody Decker takes you down the line. And then the Cubs pregame will be here with Zach Zabeman as they take on the Cincinnati Reds in their finale. Was that a trade deadline wishful open with Chris Bryant as a member of the White Sox? Is that what I heard there, Sean?
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Okay. I've been trying to manifest Bryant to the White Sox, so I think now if I just put it into the show, it's just going to help it more and more.
Really? Okay. That's an interesting thing.
And the only home run I could find with Benetti calling of Bryant was with no crowd, so it really didn't work putting it into the Eloy one where the crowd goes wild.
Yeah. Thanks, Cubs. Was what you needed to be in there. Good morning, everybody. Well, we know what Sean's hoping for by the end of the month. What are you hoping for by the end of the month? Because we are in July. We are in the final month of the baseball season before the trade deadline, and big picture stuff looms over both of these teams, both of our locals. 312-644-6767 is the phone number as we are broadcasting you live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That number I gave you is how you can text the show. The Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And that's also the number with which you can call the show. So let's talk. A lot of stuff I want to get to. A lot of things regarding the White Sox and the recent draft history in some focus. We did some research looking around the league, and I want to talk with you White Sox fans about Jake Berger, about Gavin Sheets, and whether those guys can be part of withstanding the injury losses until Eloy and Luis Robert come back, theoretically, and whether it means you don't necessarily need to go trade for a veteran bat, which I think we've all been expecting and I thought would have happened by now, frankly. So we will discuss that along the way. Dallas Keuchel has thoughts on absolutely everything. You'll hear Rick Hahn with a memorable comp for the kids coming up as well. And there's going to be a couple extra things. A moment of pure baseball silliness later on to lighten the mood that needs to happen. But we have to start with misery. We have to start with ugly, hard, and brutal truths about where the Chicago Cubs stand right now. They've lost 8 games in a row since the combined no-hitter. They are in third place in the National League Central. They're only a game ahead of the Cardinals for fourth place. The Cubs have scored 2 runs or less in 6 of these 8. And let's admit a few things. The offensive core has never developed into what we all thought they could. Their weaknesses as swing and miss hitters have been found and exploited again and again. We have watched them try to adjust. We've watched hitting coach after hitting coach after hitting coach come and go. We've seen some of them make adjustments with some results that have been better, most notably Chris Bryant in this offseason. But the only thing that truly works for the offense that we have found is when they add the right contact hitters into the lineup. So all of a sudden the lineup is diversified, the approach is diversified, and sometimes that mentality seems to become contagious, as it did in May. So it works when all of a sudden Nick Castellanos is here. It works when all of a sudden Daniel Murphy is here for a little while. It works when Nico Hoerner and Matt Duffy are here. It works best when Ben Zobrist is here. Every year we've talked about these kinds of things, and it has manifested. This year really stark in the obvious nature of it. So the offense, other than this month of May, has shown itself to be what it is, and it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate that without those models of contact guys in the lineup around them, they just can't seem to make the adjustments they need to. Jed Hoyer spoke on Friday in Cincinnati and was disappointed about the lack of base runners. That's what you need. We had it for you last week. So far and away, the lowest number of base runners for any team in baseball in the month of June. Just absolutely brutal. And it obfuscates the other issues. It distracts from the fact that that was a good start by Adbert Alzolay and that they have found themselves, a piece for the pitching future. It becomes irrelevant, frankly, to talk about some of that other stuff. They won it so early in 2016, so beautifully, with a rebuild so efficiently executed, creating a winner in the very first target year of a potential winning window, that has created for the viewers, for the fans, for the media alike, a long, slow descent from the mountaintop during which we've constantly wondered whether we were watching the end. Think about how many times over the past few years that Cub fans have considered a moment or a game or a series loss as possibly being the end. How many times have you thrown up your hands and said, that's it, they don't have it? But you can't just do that all the time in baseball. You can't. You got to keep going. Keep trying. Even in today's game story, there are quotes from Bryant and others like, you can't let this game get the best of you. Can't let it. And he's right. He's right. But organizationally, they have always known that decisions were going to have to be made for the core players, the position players around which the team was built. These decisions have been looming for years. Extend with contracts, trade them for value, or simply let them walk away for compensatory draft picks after one more attempt to win. The fact that we've arrived here to this moment with no resolution on that stuff is kind of astounding. I mean, other than Schwarber, and they made that decision in the offseason. But seriously, this is the exact moment that was always looming as we had these conversations for like 3 years. This month, the last trade deadline in the final season of contractual control, and we still don't know which players will be prioritized to be kept. Do they know? Does Jed know? What does he want to do? Who do you want to keep? My God, how many conversations like that have we had? And that's still where we are. And you can weigh in on that decision again, if you want, this morning. Because maybe your thoughts have changed. Who, do you let Bryant go? Do you let Rizzo go with his bulky back showing up again? Do you let Baez go? Are you convinced that this group, this core, cannot do it again? And do you simply trade as many of them as possible? Let's talk about it at 312-644-6767. Do you believe you can still build around these guys if you do things right with a lot of money coming off the books this year? Reinvest. They're not going to strip it all the way down to the studs and go like full rebuild. That's not going to happen. We know that from lots of context clues and from common sense where the business aspect is involved. And it is involved. But here's the other hard and brutal truth I got to share with you. The Milwaukee Brewers know that they're better than the Cubs. They know it. They've believed it's possible since 2018. And then in September of 2018, they knew it for sure. They came all the way back. They won 8 straight, 9 out of 10. They beat the Cubs in game 163 at Wrigley. I remember that Monday afternoon well. The place was packed. The electricity was contagious. It was outrageous. And the Cubs' bats did not show up. 3 hits and a 3-1 loss. The Brewers were the champs. The Brewers know they are better from the manager on down. That's how you hang around and then put up a 10 spot in game 1 of that series. That's how you go down 7-0 and don't blink an eye and come back and spank them 15-7. They know they're better. And the rest of the league knows it too. Third place. Man, just a game ahead of fourth. It is grim. Is this run definitive? Does it clearly and strongly, decisively push Jed Hoyer into the sell spot? I think so. I think it probably does. He wouldn't admit to it on Friday. He said, the truth is, we have until July 30th. And they do. But man, they don't come more baseball optimistic than me, usually. And they don't come more Cubs optimistic than me, often. I'm sure you know some. But really, just I believe in the quality of players and the quality of people to get better, to work and to get better. And I believe in the capacity for change and human development. I love that. And I see it. We have seen it. But man, this is one of those unbelievable runs where you're like, how the hell did this happen? Where you look at the standings and the Brewers were a negative run differential 11 games ago, and now they're a plus 56. It's just, it is outrageous, and it feels very, very decisive. Let's talk to you at 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. What do you do? Is this decisive enough? Are you done? Do you feel like it is irrefutable and that it is time? Let's go to the phone lines right now on Hit and Run this morning. Let's talk to Jordan in Libertyville. Jordan, you're first up. Good morning. Welcome to The Score.
Hey, I have two questions that are kind of unrelated to what you're talking about, but I'll give it a try.
That's okay.
The first thing I wanted to bring up is that 1985 Mets-Braves game. That was like my favorite July 4th memory. I don't know, remember Rick Camp hit the home run in the 17th inning. It was the craziest game I've ever seen in my life. 3:55 in the morning, they set off fireworks. My second question.
Hold on, Jordan. Let's take stock. I couldn't help but start with 10 minutes of, like, sad and brutal truths about the Cubs. And God bless you. You are calling on the 4th of July to reminisce about your favorite baseball 4th of July memory. See, that's delightful. I'll take the Dave Rigetti no-hitter in 1983. And even though I wasn't alive, Lou Gehrig's I consider myself the luckiest man on the place of the earth speech in 1939. But go ahead.
Okay, so my second question is a Colorado Rockies question. So they're okay. 31 and like 16 at home. Somehow they're 6-29 on the road. How does that happen? Like, I always wanted your thoughts on what you think's happening there.
Wow. So the Colorado Rockies
and Rick Camp in studio.
Yes, that's right. 30-17 at home, and 6-31. On the road. That is amazing. I didn't realize that their splits were like that. They're even worse on the road than the Diamondbacks, who just lost, what, 23 straight on the road? Diamondbacks are 10-36. Well, the Rockies, their pitchers have the balls in humidors. They still do the humidors in Colorado. I think they do. Man, that is a stark split. We have seen home road splits for Colorado and for players many, many times. It's interesting because Nolan Arenado is among several now to have left and be like, no, see, those were kind of a mirage. If you're good, you're good, like DJ LeMahieu and like Nolan Arenado. If you're good, you're good, because it gets in your head when you're on that team. So, look. There are specific factors like the way that the ball carries, like the size of the outfield and how many bloops fall for hits in Colorado. But there also is an undeniable head case factor where people on that team think they're better at home and think they suck on the road. And it just reinforces that in a big, big way. Hitters for the Rockies press when they're on the road because they're like, oh, no, home is where we need to be. Home is where we're good. We're bad on the road. So they press, and that builds upon itself. So, thanks for the call, Jordan. I love that our first caller took us to two completely different places. And when I say I love that, I don't necessarily mean I actually love that. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It's Spiegel on Hit and Run with you, wondering where you are, Cub fans, in terms of what to do this month. Is this definitive enough for you? I think it probably is. And I'm surprised and sort of bummed to be there, but so it goes. We will talk about the first place White Sox as well, including the influx of youth that continues to carry them. We'll do that next and continue to take your phone calls here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It'll be an 0-2 pitch. And he hits it to deep left. Heat goes back. It is gone. Holy cow. Oh, my goodness. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Rick Kemp. Rick Kemp. Remember what I just said, if he hits a home run, that certifies this game as the wackiest, wildest, most improbable game in history. On an 0-2 pitch, Rick Kemp hit it over the left center field wall. I don't believe it. If you only knew on the Braves, we kid Rick Kemp that is hitting more than anything, Ernie.
Nobody can believe it.
Man, that is a young John Sterling calling that game. And just before Rick Kemp hit that home run in the 18th inning and the Braves trailing 11-10, John Sterling has said, if he hits a homer to tie this game, this will be certified as absolutely the nuttiest in the history of baseball. And it was crazy. I've since rewatched that sequence a couple of times. And you see Gary Carter, like, waving the Mets outfielders in before the at-bat. Like, this guy can hit, because he couldn't. He would finish his career 13 for 175. And he fell behind 0-2, and then homers there in the 18th inning. You don't, not going to get to the 18th inning very much in our lives these days. We had one that went 12. Was it last night? It went 12. I think the A's and the Red Sox went 12 innings last night. It's not going to happen very much. And I don't miss that, frankly, because, you know, we think about games like that with some romance and like it just went on all night long. And it is fun and kind of adorable to think about it in retrospect. But when you're actually living it, it's like, oh, my God, really? Although sometimes if you're in the right mood. Sometimes if you're in the right mood, just give me more baseball. Endless baseball can be a delight. It is true. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Hope you are well. It's Matt Spiegel with you here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Little July 4th right there, and can certainly mix that in. Hope you're going to have a wonderful day. I know I will, and very much looking forward to it. Wondering... What is going to happen this month? What is going to happen this month for these Cubs and for Jed Hoyer, as so much of the past few years have led up to this very moment, this very month, this last trade deadline in the final year of contractual control for these guys? and who is going to be kept, who is going to be traded, and is it off the board to just simply keep everybody and go for one last playoff run here? Because now you find yourself a third place team, 8.5 back, and just a game ahead of the Cardinals for fourth. And it sure does not feel likely that you'll be getting yourself back in. Don't have to decide quite yet, but maybe they already have. And it seems like a lot of you have. Let's go to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Ori is on the road to Cincinnati for the finale and is now on Hit and Run here on The Score. Good morning, Ori.
Hey, good morning, Matt. Thank you. I appreciate the show. Listen, I'm as into this as anybody, but I think this was decided in the off season. You don't trade Darvish and Caratini if you intend to compete. And I think Javi and Tony and KB have been sent out there with a dull knife to a gunfight. We don't have a backup catcher. Ortega is like the second man off the bench the other night, which, God bless him, he's just not the kind of makeup that you want for that. David Ross has a limited roster in so many ways. Yes, the championship run is not gone completely, but if you look at the way the roster was set up, those pieces you talked about from the past are not here anymore, and no one was brought in to take their place. If you're intending to go to the playoffs, you have guys who can come in and steal a base, who can come in and hit a home run for you off the bench, and we're just not set up to do anything. And I know what management says, but to me, this was a foregone conclusion, as sad as it is to say.
Ori, good call. Thank you. I know the players agree with you. We know this. The players believe that management didn't believe in them anymore and made that move in the offseason, let Kyle Schwarber go, and it felt like, well, you know, they're not buying it. And then it becomes the manager's job to rally them and help them find the motivation, perhaps in spite of the management. And it's why you get the endless comps to the movie Major League, and you get all these thoughts about how the players will do it in spite of the lack of belief. And that was manifesting. That was manifesting. But now here we are, and talent has come to the surface. Yeah, no disrespect to Rafael Ortega or Jose Lobatone. But when those guys are the ones coming up in the late innings in Milwaukee, when you have one final shot to do something, that 2-1 game, that middle of the series game, and in that eighth inning, it was just like, this is who we're sending up? This is what we're doing? And it was, because that's all there is. And credit to David Ross for doing a pretty remarkable job there for a while, getting these guys in good position and allowing them to find the motivation wherever they needed to. But I don't know that you're wrong, Ori. We know that Jed wanted to do both, and I think you will see an approach here at the deadline and in the offseason that will continue to want to do both. The rolling rebuild. The reload, not the rebuild, if you will. And it's scary, because you got to be really, really good at those moves, because it means you'll have a limited number of moves. But what is the strength of your organization? Is it the pro scouting that allows you to go out and pluck good young players off other rosters? Early on, they had some success with that, very much so. You know, the Arrieta trade, famously. My God, Steve Clevenger and Scott Feldman for Arrieta and Strope, an all-timer. Absolute all-timer. There were some other moments like that. Kyle Hendricks coming in the Dempster trade. Some things like that. But in recent years, we've seen the pro scouting really going the other way. It's all been acquisition mode. So how do they feel about their pro scouting department? Haven't traded somebody for kids other than Darvish. And what they got for Darvish in exchange for fully taking those dollars off the books and Caratini was Zach Davies, who's good. I like Zach Davies. Got no problem with him. And then the four lottery card kids. So, surprising that it went that low. So, what I'm saying is, do you trust your pro scouting department to make these trades? Or do you keep these guys and take the compensatory draft pick that you get at the end of the year? Draft pick number 35, 37, 39. And trust Dan Kantrovitz and the scouting department. I think you could make a case for that if you were also fighting for a playoff spot. You could easily make a case for keeping them and taking one last run. But now, are they even fighting for a playoff spot? That's why the trade rumors are flying all around. Tim is in downtown Chicago and is now on the Score. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Matt? You know, I sit here, I think about the two teams in Chicago.
Yeah.
And if you went into a Vegas casino in 1917 and bet $200, the two teams wouldn't win for 88 years in the same city. You could. There is no odds on it. You'd own Vegas. It's just amazing how we could go so long in Chicago. Go from 88 for the Sox and, 108 for the Cubs. So the odds of us winning another World Series are pretty, they're infinitesimal. But,
well, I don't know. I mean, once the spigot is opened, sometimes the water flows. Look at Boston. They went all those years. They went, 86 years without winning? Yeah. And then they got three of them in, 12 seasons. So sometimes the spigot opens if you're running it well.
I think Frisco is the motto. Then they went 3 out of 5 years, which I don't think anybody will do for the next 100 years. But whatever their motto was, I don't know if you could duplicate it. But anyway, you have a good morning, and thanks a million, man. Bye-bye.
Hey, man, thank you. Thanks for the call. Enjoyed it. Appreciate it. I love the idea that, all those years, all those decades. Yeah, it was 3 in 5 years for the Giants. 2010, 2012, 2014. And what's interesting is that there's no playoff appearances in any of the years surrounding that. So it's weird. 2009, 11, 13, and 15, no playoff appearances, but the 3 years in between there, World Series. The consistent factors there, Buster Posey, Bruce Bochy, some real good pitching, some of their own homegrown arms, be it Tim Lincecum, Madison Bumgarner. Having guys like that. Good, cheap labor. They're making another run now. It's pretty remarkable. And maybe one of my favorite non-Chicago players is Brandon Crawford. Just so consistent, such a terrific defensive player for the Giants at shortstop, and now just on fire offensively and continuing to get better. They're 22 games over 500. First place in a division where everybody thought the two best teams in baseball were the second and third place teams right now in that division. Meanwhile, the Dodgers have won 8 in a row out there, and the Padres remain the Padres. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I think all three of those teams are probably going to make the playoffs. But yeah, San Fran's a good model. Good scouting, good developing, some smart trades. I should look at their payroll over those last 10 to 15 years because it's never... They've never quite reached the pinnacle. I don't know how many times they've been in the top five in payroll. Now I want to know. We'll check it out at the break. But yeah, that's a good model. It's an interesting thing because as you think about organizations, the other models that I always think about are Tampa Bay and Oakland, who have to stay cheap and super efficient by design. And they know that. So they have prioritized scouting, developing, making great trades with their pro scouting departments. My God, the Rays especially, just one after another of these trades. As Chris Archer goes for Austin Meadows and Tyler Glass now, and a kid named Shane Baz who's going to come up and help them. Just loaded. They trade Willy Adames to Milwaukee, and he's helped transform the Brewers. The Brewers, 30-10 since Willy Adames got there. And Tampa replaces him with one good young kid, and then a month later brings up Wander Franco, the number one prospect in all of baseball. Because they've got that. So, but if you're not those teams, if you're not the teams that have to stay young and cheap and efficient, then you end up really going for it and spending lots of money on free agents, and your payroll rises. And then at a certain point, you're like, do you keep doing that? Do you keep chasing? See the Yankees right now. See the Cubs right now. The trick is, as Jed Hoyer has said this before, to go backwards in a short burst. Backwards briefly. Like the Giants did, take a year off, get back. Year off, get back. Trade some pieces, do what you can, get back. Red Sox have done that too along the way. All right, we're going to come back and talk about the first place team in town. And we're going to talk about the many, many kids who've come up and continue to. It is a remarkable bit of scouting and development. And it really leads to the question of what you actually want out of your draft picks, what you expect out of your draft picks, what is acceptable. We'll talk about it next. It's a White Sox conversation on Hit and Run in a moment on 670 The Score.
With the third selection of the 2019 MLB draft, the Chicago White Sox select Andrew Vaughn, a first baseman from University of California at Berkeley.
Hello, Matt Spiegel.
Hello, Sean Anderson. How are you? Andrew Vaughn is playing well, and I remember when he was drafted, but what show am I on? Where am I?
You are on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You have made it all the way to your final question.
Oh, my God.
You've used all your lifelines calling your dad and other stuff.
Who else do I call? And I called Mike Bryant and Rick Giolito.
Yes. The question for $1 million is, which team has the most active first-round picks currently on their 26-man roster?
Oh, most active first-round MLB draft picks on the current 26-man roster. So you've done the work that I merely discussed during the week, Sean Anderson. That's why you get to be the quizmaster.
Exactly. It's strenuous work.
Well, I know that the White Sox have Garrett Crochet.
Oh, wait. I should probably give you the multiple choice because that's also a part of the show.
It is.
A, the Chicago White Sox.
Okay, and that would be Garrett Crochet and Andrew Vaughn, Jake Berger, Zach Collins, Carlos Rodon, Tim Anderson. That's a pretty good number.
Is it B, the Cincinnati Reds?
Oh, Cincinnati Reds have a lot of number one. Now, are these their own number one draft picks?
Yes, so their own team. Okay. So even if they were Bryce Harper doesn't count for the Phillies.
All right, good. Yeah, so the Reds have a bunch. That's true. So it could be the Reds. Jonathan India is up there. Is Nick Senzel here? Is he still hurt? I forget. So they've got it. So it could be the Reds. Go ahead.
C, Houston Astros.
Oh, yeah, the Houston Astros. Carlos Correa was a number one overall. Bregman was a one. I don't remember. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Or D, the Chicago Cubs.
Chicago Cubs with their own number ones? Boy, that'd be Bryant. That would be Baez. Schwarber's gone, so there's not their own number ones. Yeah. Almora's gone, so no. I'm going to say it is a lot of international guys in the Astros, and those are scouting victories outside of the draft. On your list and the way you asked it, I will say it's the Chicago White Sox.
Final answer?
Yes.
With 8 active first rounders, the Chicago White Sox have the most in the MLB. The Sox lead it with 8. I counted Zach Birdie, so he would be 7, but they still have it even if it's 7 first rounders. The Cubs have 5, but they had 7 last year. Reds have 6 and Astros have 6. Those are their top 4.
And these are their own first-round draft picks. That is awesome. Who are the Cubs' first-round draft picks on the roster?
Bryant, Happ, Baez.
Happ, of course.
Horner, and then
of course,
I'm
Nico.
Missing the fifth one.
Nico Horner, by the way, activated off the injured list today. Nico Horner and Sergio Alcantara is sent down. So Horner. So Horner, Happ, Bryant, Baez. And we don't know the fifth, but that's okay. So it's so eight or seven, depending on whether you count birdie or not. That is remarkable. Now, you could argue that not all of them, in fact, you would argue, are producing like big time first round studs, but they are contributing. I mean, Tim Anderson is heart and soul of your team as a first round pick. Carlos Rodon, it took a long while, but that is top of the rotation material. Zach Collins is a backup catcher, but catchers develop late, and he has continued to develop defensively and has offensively been pretty damn good over the past week or so. That is a big-time contributor. Andrew Vaughn, still a large, large prospect, getting more comfortable as we go and hitting the hell out of the ball. He had four straight two-hit games at one point this week. And Garrett Crochet refound the velocity, has been very pumped up and very emotionally invested a couple of times, last couple of appearances, and probably is a starter long-term, but right now active as a lefty reliever of consequence. It's pretty remarkable. And then there is Jake Berger, one of the better stories on this team. A team full of good stories. Everywhere you look, they have good stories. And that's interesting. So what's interesting in terms of the White Sox and all those first-round draft picks, I mean, Carson Fulmer was an absolute dud and a big whiff, and that is a pitcher taken out of Vanderbilt, I think 16 spots, or maybe it was only five spots, actually, before Walker Buehler, his teammate, got taken out of Vanderbilt. Uh-oh! That's a miss. A couple of guys who still might develop. I think Berger's got a chance to be a pretty good big leaguer. It's an amazing thing. And six established major league players. It's pretty cool. And before that, there was a decade where it was pretty much only Chris Sale as a success story for White Sox first rounders. Gordon Beckham was in there. And there were several other duds that you know. And then the previous, like, 18 or 20 years before that, like, Aaron Rowan was it. There was a great run in the 90s of draft picks. I think it was early 90s, right? Where it's Frank Thomas and maybe it's late 80s. Frank Thomas and Jack McDowell and Alex Fernandez.
87 was McDowell, 88 Ventura, 89 Thomas, 90 Fernandez.
Amazing. That is an incredible run of four in a row. Just an incredible run. And then after that, real bumpy for a long, long time. Other than like Gio Gonzalez and Aaron Rowan. Aaron Rowan was the only guy who gave you major league success of any kind in the course of like a 20-year period on your own team.
And it really looks like the only player outside of Rowan who even helped a different team was Kip Wells.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So long, bad stretch. And that causes big problems for your organization, and they didn't really value the scouting as much, and they would just go out and buy guys. And at the trade deadline every year, they would go out and get guys instead of being able to bring them up. Now, look where they are. Look where they are being able to bring up two picks from 2017. The second rounder, Gavin Sheets, the first rounder, Jake Berger. It is pretty remarkable what they've been able to do. And, I mean, you sit here, and it's really, really helpful to think about these guys coming up, and maybe you don't need to go make a deal. I've been very much of the mind that they need to go out and complete a trade for Eduardo Escobar, for Starling Marte, for Adam Frazier, for, you know, one of these guys, to go out there and be a contributor. But does Gavin Sheets give you more to think about? Does Jake Berger give you more to think about? They are up here. They are contributing. And you wonder if they can withstand it. Asked that question to Steve Stone the other day, and Stoney basically said that you still need to go get a bat because these guys might have success, but then the league will adjust to them. And counting on them now in July is a different thing than counting on them in October. You are building a roster. You're trying to build a perfect roster for October. That's the fun of being a contender. And while you can look at the standings and say to yourself, man, the Indians have lost five in a row. They're six back. The Tigers have made a little bit of a run, but they're still 12 and a half back. The Twins are 15 and a half back and entertaining trade offers for Josh Donaldson and Jose Barrios and guys like that. So you look at those standings and you can think to yourself, no, we don't need to do that. We don't need to go get something. We can just let our kids play. Let those kids play. But remember, you're building a perfect roster for October. Who is your speed guy to come in and steal a base or three? Who is that perfect defensive outfielder to replace someone whose bat has gotten you to the seventh inning? Who is your third right-hander that you trust out of the bullpen after Hendricks and Kopech? Do you know exactly who that is? Who is your best defensive option at second base late in a game? Somebody you can still trust to take an at-bat or two. So that kind of perfect roster that you're crafting, that's what it's about. And that's why you should still absolutely be looking. But the good news is you don't have to sell off some of the pieces you don't want. If you don't want to give up Jake Berger, don't. Don't do it. You want to give up Gavin Sheets? Don't. Don't do it. But you're also showcasing them quite nicely. Gavin Sheets' home run the other night, off the very high fastball that he still manages to find a way to get on top of, that was some impressive stuff. Goodness. And, you know, it's one look, but boy, that's a good look on these guys. 312-644-6767. Is the phone number. We were talking about the Giants and that model and what they have done. And twice they were in, actually there were three times, they were in top five in payroll. 2017, 2018, and 2019. And they didn't make the playoffs in any of those years. So it was earlier when they were cheaper, when they were a little bit more efficient. Top 10, though, 6th, 6th, 7th, 6th, 8th, 8th, 9th, that Giants payroll. They draw very well. They make a lot of money off TV. That is a very good sports market. That payroll can be informed by that. And they're one of those teams that really benefits off attendance as well. They draw like crazy, sell a lot of beer. And here they are, their payroll right now in 2021, 11th. This is unexpected, really, to be where they are atop the National League West. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. A little bit later on, next hour, you're going to hear from the guys that we've just mentioned. Jake Berger, Gavin Sheets. Want you to hear those guys talk, and we'll talk about their stories and continue to take your phone calls and texts along the way. Right now, let's go to the phone lines. Ed is in Gilbert. Ed, you're on 670 The Score. It's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good, good, good.
I don't want to see the White Sox give up the future for another has-been, like Ken Griffey Jr. when we got him, Manny Ramirez, James Shields. Stick with what you got. It's nice to see them bring people up. Mm-hmm. And they're succeeding, and I want to see that continue.
Ed, you're speaking of vestiges of a different time. It was Kenny Williams in charge. It was go for it, go for it, go for it. Scouting be damned, and the James Shields one is the one that broke you. I know it sucks to see Fernando Tatis Jr. being really good and on the cover of video games and one of the best players in baseball, probable National League MVP at this point. And yet still, if that doesn't happen, you're not where you are. I don't think you have to worry about that kind of thing. Thank you for the call, Ed. That's not the profile of the guys they're going to get. Now, you know, if they are going to get somebody who's holding on and just giving you his last little bit of relevance or offensive excellence and you want to just do a little bit more, and that somebody is Eduardo Escobar or something like that, you shouldn't have to give up too much to get that. You shouldn't. I'm awfully intrigued by Adam Frazier because of the offensive profile, because of how he hits against righties, because of what he can do in terms of getting on base because he has outfield utility and not just infield utility, which means that in a universe where Nick Madrigal comes back healthy next year and you maintain control over Adam Frazier, you've got options and places to put him. So, and remember, Nick Madrigal is super duper cheap. He's your first round pick, but he's very much under control and not really going to put up the kind of numbers that are going to get him serious arbitration jumps. And you don't even have to worry about that for a while because he can just tender him a contract for the next couple of years. So if Adam Frazier is your second baseman next year and healthy Nick Madrigal is backing up at a few places and pinch hitting, that's okay too. It's all right. So you don't have to worry about that kind of profile on trades. There's other ways that teams are being super creative and crafty with their acquisitions. And you'll never believe where people are finding pitchers these days. It's pretty amazing. And there's another method to how the Giants are finding players that is relevant as we think about building franchises and healthy franchises. I'll get to that stuff in the next hour. It is Hit and Run. One more hour to go of Chicago baseball conversation. Looking forward to it with you. Happy 4th of July to you. Matt Spiegel, Sean Anderson, hanging out with you on a Sunday morning on Hit and Run. You'll hear from Berger, Sheets, and Hahn when we come back on 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.